Please turn to hymn number 551. 551, and we will sing together the first verse. As a heading in our catechism, we will frequently read these instructions. As the head of the family should teach it in the simplest way to his household. With those instructions, Martin Luther takes the teaching of doctrine not away from the church, but outside of the church and places it squarely in the home and puts the head of the household as the person holding the main responsibility for teaching that doctrine. It's interesting for us to note when we pick up our hymnal, we tend to think of our hymnal as being a book that we use in church. The majority of the hymns in our hymnal were created by poets who were writing hymns for the home life, for personal devotional life. Eventually, as the work of the Reformation proceeded and hymn singing became a more and more a part of the church, not just the Lutheran church, but the other churches, then these hymns found their way into the church. But originally there were great intentions that these things should be sung in the home, because the teachers realized that it is indeed the home life that shapes faith and doctrine, certainly as much as the formal religious life in the church. Turn to number 490. In a lot of ways, the 16th century reformers were ahead of their time when it came to educational reform. Luther understood that people learned things different ways. Some were visual learners, some could read and pick things up immediately, others it needed to enter the brain through a number of different orifices. In this particular case, he pairs the Ten Commandments to he puts the Ten Commandments in a rhyming form so that they can be learned in a rhyme that skips right along. We're going to rehearse these today. Please remember that once upon a time in our churches, this hymn was a very well-known hymn, and when children were expected to recite their catechism, they might as likely recite the verses of this hymn as Luther's explanation. Here's how we're going to do it this morning. The first two and the last two verses we're all going to sing together. Then, beginning with verse 3, we're going to sing back and forth. This side of the room is going to take the odd-numbered verses, and you get to be on the even keel over here. All do the first two verses and the last two verses, and then alternate with the others. And it does move right along. It's kind of a singing game. It dances, and please don't be left in the dust as you review your Ten Commandments.
Thank you.
One advantage to teaching doctrine through music is that there is this thing called the earworm factor. When you have a melody that is associated clearly with a specific text, just hearing the opening notes of that melody sometimes can bring that entire text to wash over your body and mind. Turn to number 417. Luther was not the only one to indulge in this kind of educational activity. In fact, he was imitated very, very, very frequently, to the extent that from those first two centuries of Lutheranism, we have hundreds upon hundreds of hymn texts that are based on the texts of the Small Catechism. Number 417 is an example of one of those written by great poet Nicholas Hermann. He was a teacher and a musician in the early Lutheran Church, gave us quite a number of hymn texts and some tunes that we continue to sing in the church. Probably his most famous one is the one that we sing at Christmas time. Praise God the Lord, ye sons of men, before his highest throne, which is really a very happy tune and a fantastic text. So if you don't know that one, learn it. Number 417, now that we've sung about the commandments, we're going to sing about how the church gives to us then the forgiveness of all of our sins. And we will sing this in the same way. All of us will do the first two verses and the last two verses, and then we will begin with the odd verses on this side and continue in alternation. The singing in alternation, of course, prevents vocal fatigue, which is a great thing. The other thing that it does is it allows all of you to function as the priesthood of believers as you declare God's word to one another, even in a very formal setting like this where the book is telling you what to say to your neighbor across the aisle. Thank you. Please turn your attention to verses 9 and 10. In this part of the hymn, the poet, Luther, has taken us to a place where God the Son and God the Father are having a conversation about the state of the world and the state of man and how they are gracious towards man. And in verses 9 and 10, we are reminded, first of all, that the power of the Holy Spirit to keep us in the truth God has given to the church in his word, and he imparts it through that word and through the sacraments. It is also our responsibility, then, to take these things and use them as God has given them to be used, even in the home. Verses 9 and 10, please stand.